It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champions Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey everybody, welcome to this edition of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. This is the Zamir White edition of the show. Yes, today is the day that Zamir White has decided to come to the University of Georgia to play football, a top back, one of the top backs we've ever seen. Again, one of, there are a lot of good ones out there, but he's one of the best. This is a guy that everyone's raving about, and we're going to talk about that tonight on the show. First and foremost, I have to thank Champions for hosting us. We're here at Champions on Baxter, world-famous fried chicken, and for those of you listening while you're driving or on your working out, you can't see it like you do if you're watching the Facebook live show, but I do have a wonderful banana pudding in front of me, and I have a wonderful key lime pie and a big 40-ounce beer. It just seems like a good day to celebrate the fact that Zamir White, and I think he's going to stick with his commitment. That's one of the questions I'm sure will pop up, but this is a guy who I think is headed to Georgia. I think Georgia's been his destination for quite some time, and we're going to talk about that. We have to thank 11 Alive Sports for having us on their show. I mean, having us on their webpage. That's our news partner. I don't think they led their sportscast with it, but I know that they had a lot of clips about Zamir White on the show tonight. So if you're watching 11 Alive News, which you should be, it definitely has a Zamir White flavor to it. We want to thank Cable East, our new sponsor coming on, and Robert Wall for deciding to join us. And 365 Game Day, if you need Georgia gear, which you do. I saw a t-shirt that said, keep calm and trust Zamir. That would be a good t-shirt to get, and we'll see if the guys at 365 Game Day can't put that together. But if you need Georgia gear, be sure to check out 365 Game Day to get all of your Georgia needs. Technically, you should probably be buying it from Rivals. I think we get like a kickback on that. But 365 Game Day, they take care of us, and we're going to try to take care of them. So let's get further on into the podcast. First thing I want to talk about is, of course, the arrival. Well, not the arrival, the pledge of Zamir White. And I was actually listening to, I think it was WSB or somebody on the way home from Atlanta. I had to take my father-in-law into Atlanta for surgery. And they were talking about Zamir White has signed with Georgia. He's not signed. He is pledged. He is committed. This is a guy who, you know, for the last month has known that he was going to the University of Georgia. He says that he is done. He says it's over. And this is a guy who dislikes drama so much, I could definitely see him sticking just like Sony Michel did, just like Nick Chubb did. I don't see him wavering unless something dramatic happens in Athens. But Zamir White, the number one running back in the nation, the number six player overall, and he could even go higher. He's up there in that just elite of the elite category. He has pledged to come to the University of Georgia. One of the questions I was asked right off the bat was, hey, how long have you known? It's not, we suspected. Until Zamir says it, it's not real. And here's a crazy thing. For those who have been following me for a while, you'll know that this happens. I've actually had a kid tell me, hey, I'm going to commit to the University of Georgia, you know, this coming Thursday. I'm going to have a big ceremony. And I'll say, great, can I go ahead and ask you, you know, why you committed? And, you know, did you tell the coaches? And what was their reaction? Sometimes we can get a kid to give us a story ahead of time, and we embargo it at the kid's request. The kid says, look, I'm going to have an announcement Thursday, and we don't want to spoil the kid's moment and go ahead and run the story. So we'll try occasionally to get one ahead of time, and we didn't have that with Zamir, but we suspected very heavily. But even then, I've had a kid give me a chapter and verse on why he's going to Georgia and how much he loves it and what it meant when he told his family, and heck, even what the coach's reaction was. And then at his announcement ceremony on a Thursday, just decide, hey, I'm going to go to Clemson. I'm going to go to South Carolina. I'm going to go to Tennessee, Texas, whoever. So even when you have a kid's quote saying why he's picking the University of Georgia, sometimes it doesn't happen. So for those of you that said, oh, you guys have known all along, well, we suspected very heavily, and we were prepared for it very thoroughly. But we did not know it until Zamir actually put the hat on. So, you know, we're kind of on the edge of our seats just like everybody else, and praying that there's not this huge meltdown because that could have been very, very ugly if he decided to go elsewhere. So anyway, hey, hi, Will Montgomery. Nice to see you. And folks, if you or listening to the show, you're kind of out of luck. But for those of you who are currently watching the podcast, go ahead and get your questions in, and we will answer them as we can go. Josh Green says, Zeus to Athens, G-A-T-A. Yeah, and as much as I would hasten to tell Georgia fans, for the love of Pete, do not tweet at recruits. I will say that I noticed that the whole Zeus to Athens, I think it was the hashtag that everybody was tweeting out. I mean, it was a done deal, so it's not like they affected it, but there are a lot. The recruits caught that. The other recruits, the uncommitted recruits and the committed ones, they saw all these Georgia fans getting excited about Zeus, you know. And when I say by the beard of Zeus, exactly, Trey Johnson, when I say, you know, they get excited about it, they notice it, you know, it matters. You don't need to be recruiting at commits and, you know, tagging them in your tweets or Facebook posts or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever the hell people are doing nowadays on social media, because A, you're not allowed to. If you buy tickets from the University of Georgia and you attend a game, you're considered a booster, and therefore you're not allowed to have contact with a recruit. So every time you do it, if you are a NCAA defined booster, you're committing a violation. So don't tweet at recruits. But now, doing something like the hashtag thing, you know, having your own Georgia recruiting army, you know, who can start, you know, an account like that or a hashtag like that or something, you know, the kids will see that and they get a kick out of it. Other schools have been doing it for a long time, and it's just cute to see the Georgia fans get behind it. And I'll get to those questions in a second. You know, see all these people getting behind it and watching the other recruits jump in on it. That was kind of fun to watch. So Matthew Daniel says, it's a good day. Kirby and staff are doing a great job of recruiting. Yes, I mean, okay, we started this podcast 3 months ago. Well, I should say started it. We brought it back. We used to do the UGA Sports Live podcast all the time. So we brought it back. And one of the things that we were talking about constantly was how bad Georgia recruiting was. But look at it right now. I mean, they went from having 3 decommits and 2 commits to, you know, bringing in 6 guys and then a 7th guy. And one of them is a 5. You went toe-to-toe with Alabama, who was the runner-up, Ohio State, Clemson, and UNC. If you can beat Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson on the recruiting trail for a 5-star kid, you are going to be where Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson were in the playoffs. That's the way it works. I mean, you know, what is Clemson without Deshaun Watson? A very good team. Are they a national championship team? No. What is Georgia without a quarterback? Well, they're a, you know, 9-3 team, you know. Their team that gets their coach fired. What are they with, you know, Jacob Eason or Jake Fromm or Zamir White or Justin Fields? That's a different cat altogether. So you can get there if you win these battles. And I know, yes, we run a recruiting site. We talk recruiting all the time. That's, you know, you go to UGA Sports, there's 10 stories, I think, on, or 10 features on Zamir White on our front page right now. Is that excessive? Maybe. But that's how big a deal it is, because then all of a sudden, you know, in year 2 or year 3, when Zamir White's maybe going through for a Heisman thing campaign, you're like, well, when did we know? When did this come down? You know, the casual fan that wants to know how good Georgia's going to be this year, they don't understand that if you look at Georgia's recruiting 2 years and 3 years ago, that tells you how good Georgia's going to be this year. So I know I'm preaching to the choir for some of you, but some of you who are casual fans or just tuning in, just understand that recruiting matters, and today was a big day for the University of Georgia, so long as Zamir stays solid at Georgia. And he said he would. He says it's over, says it's done. He told our reporters up there that he's good and he's going to stick with Georgia, and I can't see him doing anything different. All right, one question that popped up, is Zeus going to enroll early? Yes, he is an early enrollee. So although he does have one more year of high school, and I think in his first 3 years he rushed for 5,000 yards and 85 touchdowns and something like that, some just ridiculous number, he's still got another year to go. And after that's over, at the end of December, first part of January, he will be in Athens. So he'll be able to go through spring camp next year. So this guy's an early enrollee, smart kid. You'll get to watch him the next G-Day. And now maybe Kirby Smart needs to have another big G-Day celebration and try to get 93,000 people come to the stands. Mark Mangus, winning a lot of games this year will blow the lid off this thing. Mark, you are correct. I think that was part of the slow start for Kirby Smart's recruiting class this year, was You went 8-5. Let's see what you can do. And if Georgia had gone to Atlanta last year, I think recruiting would have been a lot easier in the early goings. You know, because there was – you got to think about it. If you're a top kid, you're a five-star guy, like, say, Jamari Sawyer or, you know, Justin Fields or Zamir White, you're like, man, these guys can recruit great, but can they coach? Can they get us there? You know, what's their future? 8-5 doesn't exactly fill you with the same confidence 10-2 would have, you know, 11-2, something like that. So I think these guys, they were maybe a little bit harder sell. And, you know, does that help with Jamari Sawyer and maybe he commits? Who knows? But I'm not saying he would be committed. I'm not saying he is going to commit. I'm just saying that Georgia would have an easy chance selling him and Trey Hill and Trey Dean and, you know, Stephon Wynn, guys like that, if they'd won one or two more games last year, you know. So, Mark's correct. If you start winning some, you know, and guys see you go back to Atlanta, then all of a sudden they believe it. Caleb Davis, do you think Zeus is locked in and a dog for sure? Yes, I do. Like I said, we've suspected that he was a silent commit for some time. He confirmed to us today that he was a silent commit for about a month. And I think he was a heavy, heavy, heavy lean well prior to that, meaning that I don't know they told the coaches that he was coming, but they felt very good. They felt that they were going to land him. So I think that he is a dog for sure. I don't think he's going to waver, but I could be wrong. Just because it's recruiting and everything changes in recruiting. Maurice Carter, Fields don't need another pro-style QB. Yeah. The question is, would you want to get Justin Fields or do you want to get Matt Corral? Two five-star quarterbacks that are both looking at Georgia. And we had some very interesting scoop on the board by our own Trent Smallwood talking about there was a question came up about Matt Corral coming to Georgia, and he said something very interesting about Georgia's chances with either Justin Fields or Matt Corral. It's under the Matt Corral thread on the vault if you go to UGASports.com. I'm not going to give it away in the podcast, but let's just say that I really like Georgia's chances of landing yet one more five-star quarterback, which would be something that has never been done in the history of the Rivals era. No team has ever landed a back-to-back-to-back trio of five stars in the same year. Hasn't been done. Georgia would be the first. So, got to like their chances there. Pete Ellis says the next commit will come this Saturday. Well, Pete, if you want to tell me who it is, that's you can go ahead and put that in the comments there under the podcast. Will Nolan Smith remain a dog? Nolan Smith is a fantastic 2019 player committed to Georgia early who's been recruiting for Georgia. Let's just say if he does decommit, and there's a question about, you know, is he wavering? You know, some other schools have been coming after him very hard. Even if he did decommit, I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, yeah, it's not good that if he did. You know, it's never a good thing. It's very easy to go somewhere else. And what the worst thing that happens is a kid decommits, and then all of a sudden all the Georgia fans get mad and say nasty stuff about him, and the kid's like, well, hell, I dodged a bullet. My point is, if a kid decommits who's a rising junior, this kid has two more years of high school to go. He's down at the IMG Academy. If he does decommit, we've seen this all the time. Heck, we saw it four guys in the class of 2016 do it, and we saw another guy in the class of 2017 do it, decommit and then recommit later on. You know, so if he does decommit, I would not lose my head over it, because you know Georgia's going to fight for him. And Georgia's going to fight for guys that are committed to him. They're going to keep fighting for, you know, Owen Condon, Chris Smith, you know, Erickson, guys like that. And they're going to fight for guys that are committed elsewhere. They're still going to go after Brenton Cox. They're still going to go after, you know, Trevor Lawrence. They're still going after, you know, these other targets that they want. A commitment is just, a very, very fickle promise. And it means nothing on paper, you know. So the Georgia coach is going to keep recruiting. Trey Johnson, Stephon Wynn will commit Saturday. I think Stephon Wynn was supposed to commit Friday, Trey. So if it's been moved back a day, then that's news to me. But, again, I've been out of pocket all day, so that's kind of a big thing. Yeah, they're going to Tom Gross says Max Ray. Yeah, they're going to keep recruiting Max Ray. So I don't think they'll get him. I think that ship has sailed, but, you know, you stay in touch because you never know what's going to happen. You never know. Stephon Wynn out of Anderson, South Carolina, big target for Georgia. He's down to Georgia, Alabama, and South Carolina. From what I understand, he's supposed to announce Friday. And will Georgia get him? I don't know. I really don't. I like Georgia's chances. The pull to Alabama is strong. The pressure to remain in state with South Carolina is big. Will Muschamp on the recruiting trail he's pretty bloody good. So, but then, you know, so is Kirby Smart. So it'll be a fun battle to watch. Do we also get, and Randy Sears asked, does Georgia also get James Cook? Do we also get James Cook? God, could you imagine that combination, Zamir White and James Cook? Both five-star guys. I just don't see it. I know that Georgia is talking to James Cook every day. Every day. He told us that a couple weeks ago up in Indianapolis. And he says he's really looking at Georgia. And, you know, yes, FSU is family, and his older brother Dalvin went there and had such success, you know. But sometimes maybe you don't want to follow in the footsteps of your brother. But, again, that's why you keep recruiting, because what if you didn't get Zamir? You know, what if you didn't get Master T? Then all of a sudden you got a huge gaping hole, and James Cook stepped right into it. But I think James stays with FSU. I just can't see Georgia getting into – I just don't see it happening, especially, you know, after getting DeAndre Swift the last year and Brian Harrion looking so good. I just don't know that you could get James Cook to come here. Now, granted, the depth chart at FSU, that is not pretty. I mean, there are a lot of five-star guys there. Cam Akers, are you kidding me? So they could. Let me put it this way. I don't see it happening right now. Ask me again next week or in 2 weeks. Jeffrey Rucker says, do you think we can get Rick Sandage, another North Carolina standout? I love Georgia's chances of landing Rick Sandage. I really do. That kid's pretty high on Georgia. And that's all thanks to Trey Scott, Georgia's new defensive line coach. Very, very well-liked guy. Absolutely, you know, one of the definitely one of the guys that if I were making a prediction on some of the next guys to commit, I would put him in it. Simply because I just think that Georgia offers him. I mean, then, of course, there's Michigan. A lot of guys going after Rick Sandage. I just think that the fact that Trey Scott's been recruiting him so long, you know, I like Georgia's chances of landing him. I would predict it, but you need to check out some of his other visits, because I think he's a guy that really enjoys the recruiting process and really enjoys it, all the attention. So there's definitely going to be some other teams coming after him, and it won't shock me to see more of him. Damian Pierce, you know, what about him? Damian Pierce would be a great second back to take in this class, in my opinion. When he decommitted from Alabama, we were told by someone who spoke to him that it was basically an FSU-UGA battle. But I don't know how hard Georgia and FSU were going after him. I don't know, and that's not to say that, you know, he's not worth going after. He's absolutely a very talented guy. But I just don't, I think he was maybe number two on both their lists or number three. And now that some of the dominoes have fallen into place, maybe we see more attention to Damian Pierce out of Bainbridge. You know, Kirby Smart's hometown. Steve Walton says, DeAndre Swift and Zamir White, Zeus, will look nice together in 2 years. Yeah, they might look nice together in 1 year. What are you talking about, 2 years? And if you hear me going Zeus, Zamir, it's because Zamir White's nickname is Zeus. So if you hadn't caught up on that, welcome to what we've been talking about for the last 6 or 7 weeks. Matt Garman with a great question. Do you think Chaney can change the offense realistically to fit Fields' talents? Matt, that question will determine whether or not Justin Fields picks Georgia, in my opinion. If he actually believes, and he could because we've seen Jim Chaney run that style of offense before, if he believes that if he comes to Georgia and Georgia will change the offense to be used the way his mentor, Cam Newton, used in that type of offense. Georgia goes that more, you know, run-pass option, more spread, more allow him to use his feet. Because here's the thing. If he's just coming to a pro-style offense, although he can play pro-style, he says, Justin Fields tells me, the difference between him and Jacob Eason, Jake Fromm, is the ability to run. He says they can't do it. He can. He wants to go somewhere where he can play and play for a BCS title. That's what his mentor, Cam Newton, told him to look for in a school. That's what he is. Now he's got the family connections to Georgia. He's got he doesn't want to go too far away. I think that's what kind of, you know, hurt Penn State's chances. But if he believes that Jim Chaney will, you know, when he comes to school, say, hey, let's get away from a lot of this pro-style stuff and let's run some spread, I think he'll pick Georgia. I do. But he's got to truly believe it. And I think that we're going to see this upcoming year a little more run-pass option to show Justin Fields. And, I mean, it's a smart thing to do. But to prove that Georgia has that in its arsenal of offense play. So we'll see that. Hey, Mike Ketchell joined. Good. Pete Ellis says we should call him Z-Dog instead of Zeus. I call him Sir. Call him whatever the hell he wants to be called. I mean, he's 6'1", 205 pounds. He's probably going to put on about 10, 15, maybe even 20 more pounds of muscle. He's a badass. There's no two ways about it. So if he wants to be called Z-Dog, Zeus, Zamir, Mr. White, yeah, I'll answer to any of those. You know, just whatever he wants, that's the way you do it. And I'm not trying to put him on a pedestal. I'm just saying, you know, any kid that if he's going to come play for university and he tells you he wants to change his name from Hawkins to Hawkins Muckle, you know, then you change his jersey to Hawkins Muckle, you know. A lot of these kids, you remember, what was it, Gershel was big for a while when Todd Gurley and Keith Marshall came together and everyone started saying, you know, they're so much like Herschel, we'll call him Gershel. And then about after a year, they're like, yeah, we don't like that. And everyone stopped. That's the appropriate thing to do because kids change. You know, they're finding their own identity. You know, it's nice to be compared to him early on, but, you know, you want your own identity. So, Z-Dog, sure. Zeus, whatever. Thoughts on Tyreek Johnson? Mike and Melissa asked that one. Mike, before I get to your question, I want to address this comment by Matthew Daniel. I feel like recruiting is more stressful than the actual season. You know, honestly, is this time of year when we don't know when some, you know, a kid could just pop out of the blue, even though it's supposed to be the off season and we're supposed to be kind of relaxing and winding down and things are supposed to be calm. There's a hell of a lot more stress during the recruiting season than there is the actual football season, simply because, you know, football can recruiting kind of takes a little bit of a backseat because all these kids are playing. Now they'll come and visit on the weekends and we'll do tons of updates on them, but it's not every Tuesday at noon that a kid announces in September, October, November. You know, they're in class, and so you kind of have it. So I don't say a window in which nothing's going to happen because, you know, well, I'll say that you do have a window in which nothing's going to happen because they're in class, you know. Now, Friday night, something can happen. Saturday when they visit. Sundays are, you know, very big recruiting days. But just knowing that, hey, we've got a quiet period while these kids are in class, and then we're going to have practice this afternoon. Knowing everything's regimented and scheduled does seem like there is less stress during the actual football season. And I'll say goodbye to some of our wonderful champions, trivia players who came by, and a couple of members of UGASports.com. Thanks for stopping in, guys. Y'all take care. It can be a lot of stress. It can be a lot of stress. So I don't want to get to, you know, I'm not going to we talk Georgia football, so there's not too much. I mean, that's our job. It's the dream job, right? Getting back to Mike and Melissa's question, thoughts on Tyreek Johnson. Tyreek Johnson is the number one safety in the nation. He's down in Jacksonville. Blew up as a true freshman on the national scene. You know, very well known. And here's the thing. When he came to play with his Trinity Christian school and they came to play Buford, he almost committed that weekend. I don't know if anybody knows that or not, but he almost committed to the University of Georgia in his – maybe that was his sophomore year, right after he's a freshman, or maybe he's a true freshman at the time. But, yeah, he almost committed then. So Georgia has been in good with Tyreek Johnson for some time. A lot of people think he's going to Florida. It wouldn't shock me. But he did give us a great quote on the what it means that Zamir White picked Georgia. Zamir White, the number one running back in the nation, picks Georgia. Justin Fields, the number one dual-threat quarterback in the nation, thinks that, you know, Zamir White coming to Georgia is a very big deal. Jamari Sawyer, the number one guard in the country, he gave us his comments on Zamir White picking Georgia. He thinks it's a big deal. Here's a guy that would be blocking for Zamir and for Justin Fields, maybe. We also spoke to Tariq Johnson, and he gave us his thoughts on Georgia. Seeing a guy of Zamir White's caliber pick the University of Georgia, and remember, they started out real slow, just 2-3 commits, ranked 67th in the recruiting rankings. Now all of a sudden you have that bell cow, that leader. Not a vocal leader. He doesn't like to talk to people, but he will be recruiting. But it's so easy if you're the University of Georgia coaches to go, hey, Tariq, we got the number one running back. We might have the number one dual threat quarterback. We might have the number one guard. Might have the number two guard. You know, you've already got some Rivals 250 guys in here. You start putting that together, and it makes it so that Tariq Johnson maybe wants to be part of that class. So, in other words, you asked my thoughts. I think it helps landing a Zamir White to get you a Tariq Johnson. So, but do you think we'll have Zeus on the back of the jersey? I don't see Kirby Smart allowing guys to put their nicknames on jerseys. That's just too much tradition at UGA. You know, that might fly at a different school, but I don't see that happening with Kirby Smart. How many recruits do we have for 2018? I think you're at 7 now. 7. Eric Jenkins, who won trivia? Team G-Spot, apparently. They won the $200 prize we put up here at Champions. And look, guys, it's every Tuesday at Champions on Baxter, you come out for trivia. And you know, very nice prizes, great food. And like I said, I have this key lime pie in front of me and a big thing of banana pudding and a 40-ounce beer. Chuck Ward's a good night to fly solo. Yes, because I get to take those desserts home with me. So that's a great night to go solo. Keith Watson. Dosta Dog. Oh, my God. Keith Watson. Folks, for you don't know, if you're a reader of UGA Sports, and you definitely know who Dosta Dog is. If you don't, apparently it's Keith Watson. Now, Keith is a guy down in Valdosta who's been a huge supporter and friend for many, many years. Says he really enjoys the show from Champions. Thank you, Keith. Checks in the mail. Any idea why UG hasn't recruited linebackers as Kobe McLean more heavily? Every SEC and ACC school is recruiting him, but UGA doesn't seem interested. The kid is legit. Yes, and I've spoken to Kobe McLean about it, and I'm like, okay, well, where's George on your list? He's like, they're not recruiting me. So let's go back to one other guy that we mentioned last week or the week before. George is dragging their feet recruiting a local kid here at ACS by the name of Richard Gibunor. And Richard has got offers from Alabama, Florida State, you know, Auburn. All these top programs have recruited him. Zacoby's the same way. All these SEC, ACC teams are coming after him. Why isn't Georgia recruiting him? I don't know. He's just not on their list. It's not that they don't know about him. They obviously do. They also know about Richard. Richard actually went and had a practice over there, kind of a workout for him. So they've seen these guys, and they're just different on their list. And I go back to for those of you who heard this story, I apologize a million times, but if you haven't, let me rephrase it. There was one point a couple years ago where Jeremy Pruitt was recruiting a safety by the name of Jonathan Abram. And Jonathan was talking to Trent Smallwood saying, look, I'm probably coming to Georgia. And we expected him to commit. We got a story ready, and the kid committed on a Friday night. It was Halloween night after his football game. It was like 11:30 Eastern. He was Central Time. And we had all these different services come out and said, well, it's not a true commitment because the kid doesn't have a committable offer. A lot of people didn't believe that he had a real Georgia offer. And the next day when we're in the Everbank Stadium, I went up to Jeremy Pruitt and said, hey, this kid committed, you know, are you recruiting him? And that is not an NCAA violation because coaches are allowed to confirm whether or not they are recruiting a player. They can't talk to the media about him. You know, they can't, you know, be quoted on it, but he was allowed to confirm that. And later on, I found that Jonathan Abram was one of the top guys on his list. Not only was did he have a committable offer, but Georgia wanted him really badly, and they liked him a lot better than a bunch of guys who were ranked 5 stars on Rivals.com and some of the other services. So the UGA list, when it comes to who they want most. And they have, you know, offensive line, defensive line, outside linebackers, wide receivers, tight ends, quarterbacks. You know, they have them listed, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, who they want the most. And Jonathan Abram was one of the top guys on the list. Now, we didn't know him from Adam. We didn't know how good he was, but he wound up starting as a true freshman, you know, and then he had to transfer back home. He had some family issues. Now it's – and Mississippi State is going to play against Georgia. But you see, my point is that what we have, you know, 1 through 10 doesn't match, you know, the coaches 1 through 10. And it varies from staff to staff. Whereas Alabama might say, hey, we absolutely want Zakobi McClain. Georgia might say, well, he's 6th on our list. He might be number 1 in Alabama. And vice versa, you know. Zamir White picked Georgia over Alabama. Alabama's not going to suffer. You know, they'll go to number 2 on their list. I'm imagining Zamir was number 1. Seems like it, but who can tell? So they'll go to number 2 and probably get their number 2 or number 3 guy, just like Georgia when, you know, they lose a kid to – when they lose Brenton Cox to Ohio State, you know, or you lose Trevor Lawrence to Clemson, you go for your number 2 guy. You go for your number 3 guy. But who's – you know, that's the one – if I could get one thing from the Georgia coaches – week in and week out, if I could get one guy over there to sneak me some information, it would be the order list of which they see these recruits. Not, I don't even know, want to know who the silent commits are, which we think there's now 4, maybe 5. I wouldn't even want to know that. What I would want to know is who do they see as their number 1 tight end target, number 2 tight end target, number 3 tight end target. And I apologize. Somebody asked me earlier in the thing. The question is going by a little too fast for me to keep up with them all. Someone asked me, what do I see George landing as a tight end? You know, is it going to be Luke Ford, John Fitzpatrick, Tommy Trimble? All those guys I think are close to – I don't say close, but they have Georgia – in their top 2, top 3, Luke Ford, you know, recently visited. I think Georgia made a very strong impression on him. Trimble is either a single or dual legacy. This is a guy who wants to play for Georgia. John Fitzpatrick could, you know, at Marist, he would fit Georgia very well. He did a fantastic job at the Rivals 5-Star Challenge. So I could definitely see any of those guys come in. I don't know exactly what the which one they get. Can't tell. I mean, my thought would be Luke Ford is tough. He's going to be tough to land, but I could definitely see a situation where they land maybe Fitzpatrick and Trimble together. That would be at that point, call it a day. Yeah, if you don't get Ford, but you get those two, you know, somebody might say, oh, well, we didn't get the number 1 tight end in the nation. Well, hell, you got, you know, 2 of the top 10, and you get them together? Forget about it. Just call it a day. Rob Phillips, why would the 2 quarterback recruits consider us with Eason and Fromm in place for the next 3 to 5 years? Rob's got a great question. Why would anybody, especially if you're a 5-star wide receiver, think about coming and playing behind Jacob Eason and Jake Fromm? Screw that. I wouldn't do that. I mean, there's a lot of schools that don't have 5-star quarterbacks that you could go get. You know, why come to sit behind 2 of them? That's hard. But Matt Corral is not okay, he's short. He's not 6'3", 6'4", but he's not short on confidence. He figures he could come in and play because you got to think, you know, when he comes in, he maybe redshirts 1 year or he's going toe-to-toe with Jake Fromm, but, you know, that would be – his freshman year would be Jacob Eason's junior year, and then Jacob Eason's gone to the NFL. So he's thinking he's got to beat out one guy by his sophomore year. Same with Justin Fields. Justin Fields looks at George and goes, well, I can come in, and the minute we start running spread – you know, I'm the lead dog because I do it better than anybody else, you know. So when you're that good, you're not worried about it. But anyway, to answer your question, Rob, that's why it's – here's the thing. If these guys think they're good enough to go play in the NFL, think about – let's say you go all 4 years. You graduate. You go to the NFL Combine. The 5 stars that were in your class and the class above you and the class behind you, you know, the guys that redshirted a year who are a 5-star, but there's somebody ahead of them, or the guys who have left a year early, all those 5-stars are at the Combine too. You have to beat them all out if you want to make it to the NFL. If you're worried about coming to Georgia or Clemson or Alabama or FSU and there's 2 5-stars already there, if you can't beat those guys out, you're never going to make it in the NFL. You couldn't even beat out the guys on your own team. So if you're really, truly, and if you're a five-star, then we expect you to be drafted in the first round in the NFL. If you are a five-star talent, then you're like, well, look, I'm good enough to go beat out those other guys because I'm going to have to beat them out anyway. There's 32 quarterbacks in the NFL that started. It's only 32 of them. There's a hell of a lot more five-star quarterbacks out there. So, you know, if you're Justin Fields or Matt Corral, you're like, I can beat those guys. And I'm going to have to beat them if I want to get to my end goal, which is the NFL. So that's why you do it. That's why you pick it. Mike and Melissa asked, will Adam Anderson be a dog? You remember what I said about Nolan Smith earlier in the show? When somebody's asking, will Nolan Smith decommit? You know, Adam Anderson was committed to Georgia. He decommitted and flipped to LSU. A lot of people are expecting him to flip back to Georgia. And this is 2 years to go. This is a guy with just 1 year left. So, Anderson, I won't say he comes to his senses because it's not a bad to be committed to LSU. It's not a bad thing by any way, shape, or form. I mean, playing for Ogeron and that crazy Cajun, I'd want to play for him. The guy recruits. Everyone recruits hard. He recruits well. This is a guy who, when I first met him, asked me what site he was at Tennessee, and he asked me what site I covered, and he's like, I told him Georgia. He's like, you need to come cover us at Tennessee. He was recruiting me to come be a journalist on the beat at Tennessee, just because it's in his nature. I'm like, well, you know, I don't have a job up there, but he's like, well, come on anyway. So, I mean, this is a guy who, whoever checks him out in the grocery store, he's recruiting him to, you know, come be part of his team. I mean, he's just, has a magnetic personality, and I can definitely see if you're a football player, you know, you get in a room with Coach O, hell yeah, you want to play for him. But Kirby Smart's pretty good too, and Adam Anderson, you know, last time I saw him in person, his hair was red, and, you know, he had it colored for like Georgia red. He's going to be a big talent, and I could definitely see a kid from Rome like that staying at home. You know, getting down to Baton Rouge is a little bit further drive than getting to Athens. You know, so not to say that he's limited by, you know, geography, but I could definitely see a situation where he goes, yeah, you know, a bunch of my teammates were going to LSU. Now Chatham's going to Tennessee. That draw's gone. It's a long way from home. Kirby's still recruiting me because, again, if a kid decommits and he's on Georgia's, or he commits somewhere else, and he's at Georgia's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever he is on Georgia's list, they are going to keep recruiting him no matter what because commitments mean nothing. So, how good can Owen Condon be? Jason Rayburn asks. Hell if I know. And the reason I say that, I'm not trying to put him down. Owen is a very bright guy. But what we've seen with we spoke to people who covered Owen Condon. They said right now he's just so much bigger than everybody. He's not seeing his physical equal out on the football field. He's tossing them around. He's winning through sheer strength and size. Now, granted, I mean, Kirby and Sam Pittman and, you know, Jim Chaney would not take him if he didn't have good fundamentals. You know, a big monster out there just hammering people. They want a kid that can move. I mean, hey, they're going to be doing maybe some more spread. In other words, he needs to win, be able to come to the SEC, go up against the conference that has year in and year out the best defensive linemen, the best outside linebackers, and the best defensive ends, hands down. You can say a lot of things about the ACC. You can say it lies about this. It cheats, whatever you want to say. One thing you cannot say is that they do not have great defensive linemen in the SEC. They do. And if you want to be a successful offensive lineman, you're going to have to beat those guys one-on-one. And I don't see Sam Pittman, who brought in a bunch of tackles last year, saying, okay, this guy's just a big, big body. We're going to take him. That doesn't work in the SEC. So my assumption, Jason, is that they've seen enough of his tape that they see that he's got the footwork, he's got the technique that can be developed into being very good. The only reason they had a spot, you know, is because De'Anthony Dimery screwed up and, you know, Georgia rescinded his offer to him, so they had an opening. There were a lot of tackles out there that they could have gone after, and they went after this guy who is a Georgia legacy. His mother went to UGA, and they're pulling him out of Oklahoma, but how good can he be? I just don't know. Right now, he's good because he's bigger and stronger than everybody. The guys that watched him said that they saw a big difference between last year and this year. This year, his technique is a lot better. But you're asking me a question about how good can he get further on. In other words, we've seen from year one, year two to year three, a big increase in his game. Will we see it in year four as he's a senior? I imagine so, or Sam Pittman wouldn't get him. Sam's a hell of a recruiter. And if you go back to talking to people that played for him, you know, like Kirkland and guys like that when I was in Indianapolis for the Combine, they raved about Sam Pittman. And we said it was the best hire that Kirby Smart made, but now you got to wonder about Dell McGee bringing in all these running backs. So, you know, or if Jim Chaney brings in a third five-star quarterback, you know, the best recruiter on UGA staff title, you know, that trophy, there's going to be three hands on that trophy pulling it. And then we know Glenn Schumann was this first guy, and we were told the other day that Glenn Schumann, on his way to vacation, stopped by a couple of high schools to check on kids just in case. You know, that's Glenn Schumann's a relentless recruiter. So, point being, I don't see Georgia wasting him. And I'm not trying to give the kid the benefit of the doubt just because Georgia offered him and committed. I'm just saying that we've seen an increase. And Sam Pittman is an obviously very talented scout. Okay, so I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. I'm just saying I don't know, but here's the data as it lines up in my perception. Wesley Hunt says D'Angelo Gibbs or Richard LeCount III, who plays first? Who has a higher ceiling? I wish, Wesley, if you could give me this question with D'Angelo Gibbs as a wide receiver. And I would if D'Angelo Gibbs was playing wide receiver versus Richard LeCount, who plays first, I'd say Gibbs right off the bat. Because Georgia's got a couple good safeties. Aaron Davis is back there. He knows what he's doing. And then Dominic Sanders, that's a tough lineup to crack. I could definitely see both these guys competing to play that star position. If D'Angelo Gibbs right now, I could definitely see D'Angelo Gibbs getting on the field as a wide receiver right off the bat. Who has the higher ceiling? That's a tough one. I'm going to go with Richard LeCount. And by maybe a fraction of a fraction of a percent, because they're both really good players. There's just, D'Angelo Gibbs was... We invited to the five-star challenge after his freshman year. We don't do that very often. I mean, we're taking the top 100 players in the nation. Okay, mostly these are going to be rising seniors, you know. But we took him after his freshman year, and that's a pretty big deal. That's just giving you an idea how good this kid is. So, and he did well. So, D'Angelo Gibbs is a unique talent, and he can play both sides of the ball. And every time I interviewed him for the next 3 years, I asked him, what side of the ball are you going to play on? He's like, I don't know. Right now, Georgia has him on the defensive side, and I get it, but I would love to see him play wide receiver because I just think he's an elite talent as a wide receiver. He's going to be very good in the secondary, but as a wide receiver, he's lights out. So let's give Richard LeCount the edge simply because he has that it factor. There's something special about it. He reminds me of Brandon Boykin. You know, maybe a little undersized, but we'll play in the NFL. But that's what scared me. Do you see Jeremiah Holman playing a big role on offense this year? You know, I do. Simply, and maybe I'm reading way too much into a G-Day game, which I tell folks, don't do it. Don't read into this game. It's a glorified scrimmage. But it's not that Georgia's wide receiver depth chart is this amazingly complex, incredibly loaded thing that's impossible to overcome. I mean, yeah, Terry Godwin, five-star talent, you know, bowl game MVP. It's a true freshman. Coming into his own, he and Jacob Eason are developing a very good timing pattern. I can definitely see him out there. See Riley Ridley, you know, Calvin Ridley's little brother, who's might be as good as him, if not better. Javon Wims is going to be fantastic. We saw him kind of break out last year. He's going to be out there. But Jeremiah Holman has the speed, the size, the hands, you know. In other words, I think he could definitely come in and get a hot hand and just give people a lot of grief. And it's not exactly the hardest thing to come in and play wide receiver as a freshman. You know, coming in and playing some of the other positions as a freshman is tough. You just have to show a willingness to block. That's what keeps a lot of very talented Georgia wide receivers off of the playing field, as they won't block. So, all right. Anyway, I'm going to get to one last question, and then we're going to wrap it up for this week's episode. JB Reed says, do you think we have a chance to beat Florida? It's funny, we were talking about this not too long ago, very recently. And we have a series of articles that have been written by Anthony Dasher, where he went and interviewed experts at every school that Georgia's playing. And Dash is on vacation this week, so we're just running them, you know, one each day in order. So, you know, we spoke to someone at Notre Dame. We spoke to someone at Sanford. We spoke to someone at Missouri, you know, Gabe Dermond at Missouri. And we spoke to someone at Florida. You know, these are all people that cover the teams year in and year out. And we got a good – they will tell us what each team has coming back, good or bad, where they see that team coming. And these are not homers. These are not guys who are super fans. These are true journalists, you know, who make their living covering the team. You know, they're not going to sugarcoat anything. And Landon was talking about Florida, and he told us what they have coming back. You know, they're going to be a lot better offensively because he said they can't get worse. And he's right. You know, they're going to fix their quarterback issues. The line should be better than it was last year, hopefully. For the Gators, and you know, they got some very talented skill positions. Here's the crazy thing, though. Their defense, they lost so many players on that defense. It's going to be tough to get all those guys back and to put out that stifling Florida defense that we've seen in years past. Does Georgia have a chance in Jacksonville? No, they never do. They lose down there every year. And I finally got away from I've always predicted Georgia to lose that game every year, year after year. And they finally won a few in a row, and I'm like, okay, I can stop predicting them to lose. But no, I'm going to go back to what worked for me so that I'm right. I'm going to predict Georgia to lose in Jacksonville because they get down there and they – what did Louis Rizard say years ago? They play like a goat with MS, you know, or muscle, something like that. Just they – something gets in their head in Jacksonville. They don't play up to their potential. There's too many turnovers. They start, you know, Fatone Bauta, or the first play of the game is a pick six, or the missed field goals, or some stupid crap like that. And until I see it change, I'm not going to predict anything different to happen. But you and I both know that Georgia's coming down there with a much better team this year, and Florida's lost a little bit. So, objectively, there should be more to it. Anyway, I want to say thanks to everybody for watching. Please share this if you will. If you're watching this on 11 Live Sports or 365 Game Day, go ahead and click the like on that page. I would very appreciate. Hey, look, they're putting this up. You know, that's all they're asking for is likes. You know, so please do that. I want to say thanks to everybody here at Champions. Thanks for my 40. Thanks for my key lime pie. Thanks for my banana pudding. It's going to be a very good evening when I go home. Thanks to Cable East, our newest sponsor, Robert Wall, and he's a big sponsor of the Georgia Bulldogs, and he's sponsoring the show. I want to thank him, and thank all the readers at UGA Sports. I hope you enjoyed the Zamir White coverage we had today, and stay tuned for a lot more. Y'all take care.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.